Today is the first day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we march forward together into this brand new month, the sixth month of the year, the 152nd day of the year. So man, 151 steps we have taken together. And we march with step 152 into this brand new month. And may God shine his light upon us and be gracious to us and lead us in the way that we should go. And may we be paying attention and may we obey his leading. And may we continue to gather around the global campfire together and take the next step forward together as we navigate this brand new month. We are obviously picking up where we left off yesterday, and that leads us first back into the book of 2 Samuel, where we are reading of a military coup attempt by David's son Absalom, who wants to be king in his father's place, and that is going to require that his dad gets killed so that he can kind of take over. And the battle lines are being drawn up and all kinds of little things are going on. And, well, let's pick up the story. Today, 2 Samuel, chapter 18, verse 1 through 19, verse 10. David now mustered the men who were with him and appointed generals and captains to lead them. He sent the troops out in three groups, placing one group under Joab, one under Joab's brother Abishai, son of Zeruiah, and one under Ittai, the man from Gath. The king told his troops, "I am going out with you." But his men objected strongly. "You must not go," they urged. "If we had to turn and run, and even if half of us die, it will make no difference to Absalom's troops. They will be looking only for you. You are worth 10,000 of us, and it is better that you stay here in the town and send help if we need it." "If you think that's the best plan, I'll do it," the king answered. So he stood alongside the gate of the town as all the troops marched out in groups of hundreds and of thousands. And the king gave this command to Joab, Abishai, and Ittai. "For my sake, deal gently with young Absalom." And all the troops heard the king give this order to his commanders. So the battle began in the forest of Ephraim, and the Israelite troops were beaten back by David's men. It was a great slaughter that day, and 20,000 men laid down their lives. The battle raged all across the countryside, and more men died because of the forest than were killed by the sword. During the battle, Absalom happened to come upon some of David's men. He tried to escape on his mule, but as he rode beneath the thick branches of a great tree, his hair got caught in the tree. His mule kept going and left him dangling in the air. One of David's men saw what had happened and told Joab, "I saw Absalom dangling from a great tree." "What?" Joab demanded. "You saw him there and didn't kill him? I would have rewarded you with 10 pieces of silver and a hero's belt." "I would not kill the king's son for even 1,000 pieces of silver," the man replied to Joab. "We all heard the king say to you and Abishai and Ittai, 'For my sake, please spare young Absalom.' And if I had betrayed the king by killing his son, and the king would certainly find out who did it, you yourself would be the first to abandon me." "Enough of this nonsense," Joab said. Then he took three daggers and plunged them into Absalom's heart as he dangled, still alive in the great tree. 10 of Joab's young armor bearers then surrounded Absalom and killed him. Then Joab blew the ram's horn and his men returned from chasing the army of Israel. They threw Absalom's body into a deep pit in the forest and piled a great heap of stones over it. And all Israel fled to their homes. During his lifetime, Absalom had built a monument to himself in the king's valley, for he said, "I have no son to carry on my name." He named the monument after himself, and it is known as Absalom's Monument to this day. Then Zadok's son Ahimaaz said, "Let me run to the king with the good news that the Lord has rescued him from his enemies." "No," Joab told him. "It wouldn't be good news to the king that his son is dead. You can be my messenger another time, but not today." Then Joab said to a man from Ethiopia, "Go tell the king what you have seen." The man bowed and ran off. But Ahimaaz continued to plead with Joab, "Whatever happens, please let me go too." "Why should you go, my son?" Joab replied. "There will be no reward for your news." "Yes, but let me go anyway," he begged. Joab finally said, "All right, go ahead." So Ahimaaz took the less demanding route by way of the plain and ran to Mahanaim ahead of the Ethiopian. While David was sitting between the inner and outer gates of the town, the watchman climbed to the roof of the gateway by the wall. As he looked, he saw a lone man running toward them. He shouted the news down to David, and the king replied, "If he is alone, he has news." As the messenger came closer, the watchman saw another man running toward them. He shouted down, "Here comes another one." The king replied, "He also will have news." "The first man runs like Ahimaaz, son of Zadok," the watchman said. "He is a good man and comes with good news," the king replied. Then Ahimaaz cried out to the king, "Everything is all right." He bowed before the king with his face to the ground and said, "Praise to the Lord your God, who has handed over the rebels who dared to stand against my lord the king." "What about young Absalom?" the king demanded. "Is he all right?" Ahimaaz replied, "When Joab told me to come, there was a lot of commotion, but I didn't know what was happening." "Wait here," the king told him. So Ahimaaz stepped aside. Then the man from Ethiopia arrived and said, "I have good news for my lord the king. Today the Lord has rescued you from all those who rebelled against you." "What about young Absalom?" the king demanded. "Is he all right?" And the Ethiopian replied, "May all of your enemies, my lord the king, both now and in the future, share the fate of that young man." The king was overcome with emotion. He went up to the room over the gateway and burst into tears. And as he went, he cried, "Oh, my son Absalom! My son! My son Absalom! If only I had died instead of you! Oh, Absalom, my son! My son!" Word soon reached Joab that the king was weeping and mourning for Absalom. As all the people heard of the king's deep grief for his son, the joy of that day's victory was turned into deep sadness. They crept back into the town that day as though they were ashamed and had deserted in battle. The king covered his face with his hands and kept crying, "Oh, my son, Absalom! Oh, Absalom, my son, my son!" Then Joab went to the king's room and said to him, "We saved your life today, and the lives of your sons, your daughters, and your wives and concubines. Yet you act like this, making us feel ashamed of ourselves. You seem to love those who hate you and hate those who love you. You made it clear today that your commanders and troops mean nothing to you. It seems that if Absalom had lived and all of us had died, you would be pleased. Now go out there and congratulate your troops. For I swear by the Lord that if you don't go out, not a single one of them will remain here tonight. Then you will be worse off than ever before." So the king went out and took his seat at the town gate. And as the news spread throughout the town that he was there, everyone went to him. Meanwhile, the Israelites who had supported Absalom fled to their homes. And throughout all the tribes of Israel, there was much discussion and argument going on. The people were saying, "The king rescued us from our enemies and saved us from the Philistines." But Absalom chased him out of the country. Now Absalom, whom we anointed to rule over us, is dead. Why not ask David to come back and be our king again? John 20. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrapping lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stopped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. At Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. Put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. And Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Psalm 119, 153 through 176. Resh. Look upon my suffering and rescue me, for I have not forgotten your instructions. Argue my case, take my side. Protect my life as you promised. The wicked are far from rescue, for they do not bother with your decrees. Lord, how great is your mercy! Let me be revived by following your regulations. Many persecute and trouble me, yet I have not swerved from your laws. Seeing these traitors makes me sick at heart, because they care nothing for your word. See how I love your commandments, Lord. Give back my life because of your unfailing love. The very essence of your words is truth. All your just regulations will stand forever. Shin. Powerful people harass me without cause, but my heart trembles only at your word. I rejoice in your word, like one who discovers a great treasure. I hate and abhor all falsehood, but I love your instructions. I will praise you 7 times a day, because all your regulations are just. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. I long for your rescue, Lord. So I have obeyed your commands. I have obeyed your laws, for I love them very much. Yes, I obey your commandments and laws because you know everything I do. Tall. O Lord, listen to my cry. Give me the discerning mind you promised. Listen to my prayer. Rescue me as you promised. Let praise flow from my lips, for you have taught me your decrees. Let my tongue sing about your word, for all your commandments are right. Give me a helping hand, for I have chosen to follow your commandments. O Lord, I have longed for your rescue, and your instructions are my delight. Let me live so I can praise you, and may your regulations help me. I have wandered away like a lost sheep. Come and find me, for I have not forgotten your commands. Proverbs 16, 14 and 15. The anger of the king is a deadly threat. The wise will try to appease it. When the king smiles, there is life. His favor refreshes like a spring rain. Okay, so as we begin this new month, and as we pick up where we left off yesterday, this battle between David's forces and Absalom's forces has materialized, and they fought in the forest of Ephraim, and 20,000 people died over this. And David was heartbroken because the one person he didn't want to die, his son Absalom, died. And so David had to go through all of the emotions of losing a child who wanted him dead. And then his army was demoralized because of the sadness of the king. And so David had to kind of get himself together to encourage the troops while grieving the recent, like within hours, loss of his son. So the kingdom is saved, and David will be brought back to the throne, but he's also lost a child, which changes everything. And then yesterday, as we were ending the month in the Gospel of John, Jesus was hanging from a cross and had uttered the words, "It is finished," and had died and was left in a tomb. We greet this brand new month with the aftermath of that, and the aftermath of that is that Jesus isn't in the tomb. And Mary Magdalene has gone to the tomb, and he's not there, and so she runs back to tell the disciples that somebody came and got Jesus' body, and they don't know where it is, and so Peter and John run to the tomb, and sure enough, the body isn't there, and so they're trying to figure out what's going on, and Mary, she lingers, she's weeping, she's upset about this, obviously. And as we reach the end of our reading in the Gospel of John today, she sees somebody that she thinks is the caretaker, the gardener. And she says, where is he, basically? Where did you put the body? Because I'll go get it. Like, wherever it is, where did you put him? She doesn't know that it's Jesus that she's talking to. And so it's really, really beautiful that she's there, all confused. She sees Jesus. Jesus, in the Gospel of John, Jesus appears to her. And the first thing that comes out of Jesus' mouth after his resurrection that's recorded in the Gospel of John is her name, Mary. I can only imagine the flood of emotion coming in that moment for Mary. And I think it's beautiful that she thought he was a gardener. We started our journey in a garden a long time ago, back on January 1st, as we began our journey through the Bible, and it was in a garden. And so for her to see Jesus like a gardener is almost like a return, a restoration of what was lost. We will actually be concluding the Gospel of John tomorrow, and so we have one more day left before we finish the Gospels. So let's drink deeply. That's not to say that the territory that we are moving into isn't important. It's vitally important. But the narratives, the Gospels that allow us to walk alongside Jesus, we are drawing to a close tomorrow. And so let's drink deeply and think back over all that we have learned and all that we have experienced in the Gospels as we continue our journey forward. And Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that we can come to these stories and get to know you. And we thank you for the story of your resurrection today. Our hope is in you for eternal life. And it is your resurrection from the dead that gives us this hope. And so we linger in the beauty and the gentleness, the serenity of this moment with Mary. And we take these intimate personal moments together with you with grateful hearts for your unstoppable love for us. We love you. We adore you. We worship you. We ask that you lead us forward in the way that we should go. And we pray this in your victorious name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is, well, that's our little place in the world. The other little place in the world is the Daily Audio Bible app. And that puts all of that in the palm of your hand. And so certainly be familiar. Check it out. Check out the prayer wall. The prayer wall is in the community section, whether that be on the web or in the app. And that is a place that we've established for ourselves here as a community, a place that's always on and never off, a place that we can go to when things have turned murky and have gotten rocky and it's bumpy. It's also the place to go to rejoice and tell the story of God's goodness. And as we tell our stories and intermingle them in each other's lives and pray for one another, we are knit together as the body of Christ. And so certainly be familiar with the community section and the prayer wall. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if you find that being around the global campfire is life-giving, and thank you humbly and deeply for your partnership as we move into summertime. Thank you deeply. We couldn't be here if we weren't in this together. So thank you. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. And that makes it real easy no matter where you are in the world. Or there are a number of numbers that you can call in the Americas, 877-942-4253. In the UK or Europe, 442036-088078. And in Australia or that part of the world, 613-882-0-5459 is the number to call. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, Dad family. This is God's Life Speaker. I'm on a beautiful morning walk. Oh, I can smell the honeysuckle. So beautiful. Thank you, Lord. For all of our senses, right? That we could just not just see him, but just feel him with the wind blowing and the honeysuckle smell. It's just beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. I have struggled with calling in to the gentleman who lost his son at 24 to suicide. And then Jerry from Duluth called in, and he said exactly what I just could not say, that he feels that he's going to get the phone call every single day because of the mental health his son struggles with. And I am with you because I have called into this prayer line since, I don't know, it began in 2017 for my son Joshua, who is now 23, who also struggles with mental health. And I guess the worst of it would be the parting of them from this earth, where we just feel like as long as they're here, there might be hope to reach them somehow, someone to speak to them. So Lord, cover this family that has had to bury their 24-year-old son. Lord, that you would just give them peace that is surpassing any kind of human understanding, that doesn't come from friends. Lord, comes from you. That they may just embrace that you meet their every need, that you sit with them, Lord. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, DAB. This is Romans 12:2. I would like to pray for Jamie in New Jersey. I want to say, Jamie, thank you so much for your testimony. Every time you call in and you pray and you say, this is Jamie in New Jersey, sending on the word of God, I always get a leap in my heart and just joy. So I want to say thank you for being consistent and just dedicated to following the Lord. I want to pray for you now. Lord Father, I thank you, O God, for bringing Jamie in New Jersey, Lord, onto DAB. He's a blessing to myself, and I'm sure to many others. I just lift him up to you, whatever challenges he has, O God. Father, that you, O God, will clear the way, that you would make a path. You said you would make crooked paths straight, that you would be a light to our feet and a lamp to our path, O God. So today, O God, I just lift him up to you, Father. And I pray, Father, that the things that he's challenged with, that you would intervene, Lord, and you would give him clear direction, that the Holy Spirit would be his guide. Father, you said you would leave us a comforter. And Father, I just pray today, O God, in the name of Jesus, that that comforter, the Holy Spirit, will be Jamie's guide today. It will direct and order his steps, O God, that his needs will be met, Father. And I thank you that he's a blessing to many. I just pray, O God, for his health and strength, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Father, that he will be complete not lacking anything. In the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Father, for Jamie and for the message and for every time he calls, the joy that I receive and the joy that he gives to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Ann, starting over sister in Texas, and I just wanted to say again how wonderfully appreciative I am of Daily Audio Bible, Brian and his whole family, and the entire community all over the world. It's just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful what we have in this community. And I love hearing everyone who calls praying with and for all of you. And I had an accident at the gym about a week and a half ago and fractured my left elbow in 10 pieces. And I now have half of a faux elbow. And I'm so thankful. I live in a time when such things are available. And I'm recovering slowly, and I have a long recovery, including physical therapy ahead. So please say a prayer for me that God will help me during this time to have his perspective on everything, including my work, which is, I need to work, but it's really been difficult, and just that God will help me to stay close to him and have wisdom to make good decisions and do what's right in his eyes, no matter what. I love you all, family. God bless.
Hey, DAB brothers and sisters. This is Philip. I've been listening for about 2.5, I think coming up on 3 years here from Iowa. And I really appreciate all of you guys. I really appreciate the Hardens putting this together. And I pray that you would continue to keep going and continue to preach the gospel here as you have been. I just wanted to ask prayer for my wife and my marriage. My wife has been getting deeper and deeper into kind of a fundamentalist, separatist branch of Christianity over the last number of years, and we've been married almost 9 now, and it makes it pretty impossible to have any unity in our marriage. She's very antagonistic. I've been going to a really good church here in town for almost a year, and that has been a huge help, and so it's just hard to share any of that with her. She's been hurt. And I have been part of that. I've hurt her in many ways, and so I've been fighting that, fighting a porn addiction on my part, and been having some very good success with help from some other great guys, praise the Lord, and only through his power. But I would love to have her along on the journey, so if you would pray for her to see who Christ really is and to follow him, and not what some men are teaching her online. Pray this in Jesus' name.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible. This is Patrick from Seattle. I would like your help, if you could join me, please, in prayer. There are 3 people who are seeking treatment for their post-traumatic stress and some other issues affecting them. And I just want to make sure the odds are against them, and I want to make sure that they are able to get the treatment, the help, and the blessings that they need. And their names are Alexandria, Frank, and Dennis. So if you could join me, I'd appreciate it. Heavenly Father, you are so good, and you never wished for us to suffer from addiction. And for people who've gone into harm's way in service professions and have seen such tragedy, it's sad to see them suffering as a result of their service. So I ask for your blessing with my 3 friends, and I ask that you please help them to get into the treatment that's right for them. Open up doors and leave no obstacles in front of them. Please help Dennis and Frank and Alexandria not only to find their way into the treatment that they need and to have a path that you have lit in front of them, where you light the path in front of their feet, but also, God, to maybe find their way back to you into the comfort of your arms. In your holy, heavenly, wonderful name we pray. Amen.